The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum of Accelerated Government Strategies, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum from Accelerated Government Strategies, providing advisory consulting for innovative startups to help grow government revenue. Every week, Aileen and Gigi welcome Washington, D.C.'s most ambitious and influential female executives who are taking risks to engineer success and shape the future. Women of Washington on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Now your hosts, Aileen Black and Gigi Shum.
I'm Aileen Black.
And I'm Gigi Shum.
Today, our guest is Monique Reiser. Monique was appointed Opportunity Nation's Executive Director in September of 2015. Prior to this role, Monique served as Be the Change Incorporated's Chief of Staff and brings an organization-wide understanding of BTC's three-part bipartisan issue-based campaigns, Service Nation, Opportunity Nation, and Got Your Six, which are focused on national service, economic mobility, and veteran empowerment, respectively. Monique is a first-generation college graduate and lives here in the D.C. area with her two sons, Gabriel and Asher.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
Monique, let's just start with your role today. Can you describe what you do in your role as Executive Director of Opportunity Nation?
I've been at Opportunity Nation for about 8 months, so it's been a really exciting time jumping into this issue specifically after spending some time with our headquarters team at Be the Change working across our campaigns, as Aileen mentioned earlier. But our campaign really is an effort to restore the American dream. We know that it is harder than ever for people to get that first step on the rung of the ladder of opportunity, and we want to work on that with our coalition and a network of opportunity leaders and really anybody from multiple sectors who wants to work collaboratively on bipartisan issues that we know will create more opportunity for all Americans, particularly young Americans and young adults that we work with.
So what does your day look like? What's the day in the life of an executive director?
Oh, a day in the life of an executive director, I would also add as a single mom, is never the same. But it could be anything from talking with folks like you and other media about the work that we're doing to talking with our coalition members and hearing what's going on the ground that will inform our policy advocacy, to writing reports and reporting on the different issues that touch our work, from civic engagement to reforming the career and technical education system, just the whole host of issues that come into play when we're talking about ensuring every American has a chance to get an education and a career. So it really varies day to day. Of course, fundraising is a huge part of that too as well. And that's actually a lot more fun than I thought it would be, because you really get to find out what anyone from private sector leaders to philanthropists to other partners like ours really want to do to invest in this issue. So it's a challenging part of the work, but it's a lot of our work as well is really matching up those interests so we can make some difference together.
Monique, let's start to talk about the beginning of your journey. Let's begin with your background. You started with a humble beginning. Tell us where you grew up and a little about your family.
Certainly, my background has influenced a lot of the work that I do today, but essentially, I grew up in a large family. I was the oldest of six children, and we grew up with not a lot. And soon after I graduated high school, I became pregnant with my son, and that was sort of my life-changing moment. I really wanted to do something different for him. My mom had me at 19, and so becoming a mom at 20, I was facing the same decisions she faced about continuing her education or going straight to work. That was literally the crossroads that I was at. So I was able to continue my education, going to community college. And from there was able to actually become the first class of the Gates Millennium Scholarship Program, which was a $1 billion investment in high potential, low income youth of color who were like me, didn't have a lot of resources, but I guess had a lot of potential. That was a life changing moment for me because it allowed me to continue my education and provide the life that I wanted to provide for my son.
We could have a whole segment on that particular program itself, but let's back up one more second.
Sure.
You had five siblings?
I had five siblings. I have five siblings. I was one of two of us who actually finished high school. So it's It's a kind of a challenging story when you think about the fact that of six kids, two finished high school and got diplomas. But I share that just because it was, it just sort of highlights what I think a lot of families are still facing today, which is that opportunity. And finishing high school is a really important step in being a productive and having a meaningful life. So I just share it as like a background to what's possible with the right investment. I felt like I got the right investment and interventions. And my brother, who also finished high school, actually ended up going to join the military. So we had some interesting parallels with what paths. We talk a lot about paths and purpose in our work. And for me, my path was education. For him, it was the military. And my other four siblings had to find different ways to complete GEDs or not complete at all. But it is sort of a bittersweet thing that, you know, we were able to transition and create better lives for ourselves. But, you know, in our work, we see that a lot. And we know that everybody can have a chance to come back, right? We want to make sure that every young person has an on-ramp, as we say, whether they're 16, 17, or in their 20s. I'm very hopeful that we can provide an opportunity like that for every person.
I understand that that scholarship, the Gates Scholarship, was sort of the means to get you there, and that created your path. But really, all the successful women that Aileen and I talked to, in addition to a path that got them on their way, they had an inspiration. They had a person or an event in their life, or maybe multiple people when they were young that they could really look to and really inspired them to become what they they become. What was your inspiration?
That's a great question. And I have to tell you, in many ways, my inspiration was becoming a mom. It was just, my mom was a stay-at-home mother. I didn't have a lot of people in my life who were going to work every day. And so I could sort of see what that was like and what kind of career opportunities that I was thinking about that just wasn't really there for my everyday life. My stepfather was a mechanic. I actually have a funny experience as a young person. I was maybe 13 years old, and my stepfather rebuilt transmissions for a living. And I knew, and he owned his own business, kind of did it out of the garage illegally. But you do what you got to do to pay the bills. And I asked him if he would show me how to rebuild a transmission, because all I saw was he made like $3,000. You know, this is very expensive work. And so I thought, show me how to do it and I'll do it. And he said, no. He said it wasn't the kind of work that he wanted me to do or that I should do or something like that. So I'm not sure if it was a good thing or a bad thing that that moment happened, but it certainly is something I remember where, you know, maybe I would have become an engineer. I had interests in how things fit together, or maybe I would have followed his path and become sort of a mechanic. Either one would have been fine, but I certainly was deterred from that because of that exchange with my stepfather, which I just think is an interesting moment because I've definitely carried that with me as I think about when we talk about opportunities, especially for women, and making sure that there's equal opportunity, especially for career fields that pay quite well. That sort of sticks in my head. But it really was becoming a mom at 20 where I thought, okay, this is the moment where I have to decide, you know, what kind of a life I'm going to provide for my son. And I don't just want to work. You know, I want to do something that's meaningful to me. It took some time to figure it out. I've had a bit of a circuitous route to where I am now. But back then at 20, that was a pretty big moment to become a mom.
But the Gates Millennium Scholarship is more than just for the individual. It also includes, you know, some aspects of it to include the family, right?
Certainly. So the intention of the scholarship was that finances would not be a barrier for any young person with the talent and desire to work hard through an education. So for me, as the first class 16 years ago, I think this stayed consistent throughout the program. It provided for anything you needed to get through school. So when you're looking at your financial aid package and what it takes to go to school, for those of us who went through post-secondary education, you know, it does look at your living expenses. So for me, that included my son. He needed to go to daycare. I needed to live off campus in an apartment. So all of that was sort of built into my financial aid package that the scholarship then covered. But it was, looking back now, it was a really powerful thing that, as you know, someone with not a lot of means could put my son in the best preschool that I could find. He was two when I received the scholarship. And now, you know, 16 years later, he's graduating high school. He has a scholarship to James Madison University to study physics.
Wow.
And He also just enlisted in the National Guard. So he, you know, I want to believe, and I'm sure it's true, that that foundational moment of him getting a really good early childhood investment made a difference so that, you know, that love of learning and just being in a safe and an environment with high quality care set him on the path. You know, there's something every child needs from cradle to career, as we say, but that was a big thing. I mean, I would have never been able to afford traditional childcare. I would have had to find other resources, certainly, without that financial help.
And knowing that he was getting such high quality care probably made a big difference in easing your mind so you really could focus on your studies.
Absolutely. That was such a huge relief just to have the care there. And honestly, it made life feel a little more normal that we could be part of this broader community. There were other student parents who also had their children in that local school. It was in Spokane, Washington, which is a small area. But absolutely, I'm eternally grateful that it wasn't just about me. It was about my son also successfully getting his education.
Today, our guest is Monique Reiser, Executive Director, Opportunity Nation. Coming up, we'll hear about Monique's early career. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Today, our guest is Monique Reiser, Executive Director, Opportunity Nation. Now, I'm not done with talking about the Gates Millennium Scholarship, Monique. I got to ask you some more questions because I just think it's an amazing program. Who actually manages it?
Yeah, so the United Negro College Fund has managed the program for, I guess, 16 years now, working with several other scholarship funds, Hispanic Scholarship Fund, and Asian American Island Scholarship Fund, and I believe the Native American Scholarship Fund. So together they've built a really comprehensive program that was much more than just funding. They added academic support so that a lot of us who are first-generation college students would have higher graduation rates. As you know, I think it's around 30% for first-generation low-income students who finish college. Gates Scholar graduation rates are above 80%, well above. So they really made a program that had wraparound support. Every year they bring in freshman scholars, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast, to celebrate this incredible achievement and pair them up with mentors and talk about what college life is like and any number of issues, just so that they really launch powerfully into that first year of college. And I participated in a couple of those leadership events here in